Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, June 13th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
oil surges after an attack on two tankers in the Gulf of Oman.
Lawmakers in Hong Kong scrap debate on controversial legislation for a second day.
Stocks in Asia slump for the second session, and Alibaba files confidentially for a second listing.
President Trump says he'd be open to accepting dirt on an opponent from a foreign power.
It's not an interference. They have information. I think I'd take it.
I'm John Tucker. That story's straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower. The St. Louis Blues won the Stanley Cup for the first time ever. They won Game 7 in Boston. They'll play Game 6 of the NBA Finals tonight, and they'll start the U.S. Open Golf today at Pebble Beach.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures and stocks in Europe are gaining this morning. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 9 points this morning. Dow futures up 85. NASDAQ futures up 35. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. CAC in Paris, little changed. FTSE 100 up 0.25%. Nikkei 225 in Japan, down about 0.5%. Hang Seng in Hong Kong, little changed. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 2.11%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.86%. NYMEX crude oil up 2.4%, up $1.23 to $52.37 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.25% or $3.80 at $13.40.60 an ounce. The euro 1.1293 against the dollar. The yen 108.39. Nathan.
Karen, oil is surging this morning after an attack damaged two tankers in the Gulf of Oman. We get the very latest from Bloomberg's Anthony DePaola in Dubai.
It appears that there is one vessel that sent out distress signals. Some of the crew has been evacuated. There's reports that a vessel was on fire. It's just between kind of the UAE territorial waters and Iran's territorial waters, just outside of the Strait of Hormuz. So that's an area, obviously, of a lot of tension, given that there were earlier some attacks on tankers in that area.
The owners of one ship confirm it was damaged by a blast, but the cause of the incident is still unknown. It sent crude up as much as 3.9%, though it's currently off those highs. More from Bloomberg's Anne-Marie Hordern.
More than 16 million barrels a day move to the Strait of Hormuz. So this kind of incident would inflame rising political tension in the region from what we saw last month. What we know about these two ships, though, that they were likely carrying products, the tanker front Altair headed for Taiwan and the Koku Courageous headed for Singapore, about 100,000 tons between these two ships.
And stocks in the Gulf are falling on the news. Bond yields in the region are rising. Oil is bearing the brunt of it, though, and checking prices again. West Texas Intermediate's up 2.4% at $52.39 a barrel. Brent crude is up 2.75% at $61.64.
In Hong Kong, lawmakers scrapped debate for a second day on legislation that would allow extraditions to China. Protests over the measures led to police deploying tear gas to stop demonstrators yesterday. Despite the violence, Hong Kong leader Carrie Lam plans to go ahead with the vote.
I will not shy away from my responsibility in introducing a piece of legislation, though we are very convinced of the justifications that causing this public outcry and all these divisiveness in society. But sometimes, as a political leader, you cannot shy away from difficult decisions.
With debate on the measure already canceled today, there's less tension in the city center right now, though protesters are starting to gather. Bloomberg's David Engel is there.
Here in the epicenter of yesterday's protest, and there's starting to be some rumblings of young people with their surgical masks, even the goggles, showing up, passing by here. It's not a mass display of protest yet. The cleanup crews have come in, cleaned it up, but now it seems like this tense calm that we've had for a while is starting to bubble up just a little bit.
And protesters argue the bill in question would blow up the legal wall intended to keep Hong Kong's justice system separate from China's.
Yeah, it was another volatile day for stocks in Hong Kong, while equities throughout Asia fell for the second straight session. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Well, stocks in Hong Kong continue to be under pressure as lawmakers scrap debate for a second day. Hong Kong interbank lending rates soared while the Hong Kong dollar stabilized after rising to December highs during Wednesday's trade. trade. Money going into bonds and the yen saw the Nikkei 225 close lower by 0.5% in Tokyo. Stocks in Shanghai and Shenzhen fared better, along with tech stocks in Seoul. Elsewhere, the Australian dollar declined and the Australian three-year yield dropped below 1% for the first time after the unemployment rate down under remained at 5.2% in May. In Singapore, I'm Juliette Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliette, thank you. Bloomberg News has learned Alibaba Group has filed confidentiality for a Hong Kong listing. Sources say the company filed a stock listing application with the exchange this week without the need for financial disclosures. The offering from Alibaba could raise as much as $20 billion.
The UK's largest retailer is reporting disappointing sales. Tesco says it's feeling the squeeze from Brexit, with sales that rose at half the rate analysts expected in the first quarter. It's also under pressure from Amazon, which is expanding its alliance with Morrison Supermarket to offer groceries in more cities across Britain.
And here in the U.S., shares of Lululemon rose 5% in late trading after earnings beat estimates. We get the details from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet.
Comparable sales rose 16% on a constant currency basis, above the 11.4% estimate from Consensus Metrics. It now sees profit at $4.51 to $4.58 a share this year. Investors have become accustomed to strong growth at Lululemon, and the latest quarter shows that there is still momentum. Charlie Pellet, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thanks. And coming up today, we get earnings that may provide insight on the fallout from U.S. actions against Huawei when Broadcom reports results after the close of U.S. trading. Broadcom is one of the world's biggest chip companies and a major supplier to Huawei. We get a preview from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Forecasters think the chipmaker will post an adjusted profit of $5.15 a share for the fiscal second quarter. Investors may be more interested in Broadcom's outlook in light of the current trade tensions and Washington's actions against Huawei. Bloomberg Intelligence says the company's sales and earnings will likely be squeezed in the coming quarters, but that could be offset by the coming of 5G technology, which is seen boosting demand for Broadcom's handset radio frequency chip. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thank you. S&P futures up 9.5 points, Dow futures up 89, and NASDAQ futures up 36. The 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 2.11%, and the euro 1.1293 against the dollar. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 5:07 on Wall Street, and John Tucker's here to tell us more of what's going on around the world. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Nathan. President Trump says if a foreign power were offering dirt on his 2020 opponent, he would be open to accepting it.
It's not an interference. They have information. I think I'd take it. If I thought there was something wrong, I'd go maybe to the FBI if I thought there was something wrong.
Speaking to ABC News, the president said, I think I'd want to hear it. He adds there's nothing wrong with listening. Well, several Democratic presidential candidates, including Senators Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, repeated their calls to begin impeachment hearings in the wake of the president's newest remarks. Contempt of Congress citations have been issued for the Attorney General and the Commerce Secretary. More on the story in this report from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
This after the Trump administration refused to abide by subpoenas regarding questions on the 2020 census. The House Oversight Committee voted out the citations for AG William Barr and Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross.
For defying duly authorized subpoenas from this committee and refusing to produce documents required by those subpoenas.
Chair Elijah Cummings says it goes to the basics of the Constitution. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
President Trump has upped his criticism of Germany. He also threatened sanctions over Angela Merkel's continued support for a gas pipeline from Russia and warned that he could shift troops away from the NATO ally over its defense spending. The Democratic National Committee has a money problem that could hurt its nominee's chances of beating President Trump in 2020. In the first 4 months of 2019, the party spent more than it raised and added $3 million in new debt. In the same period, its Republican counterpart was stockpiling cash. An alleged gunman and five accomplices have been detained in the shooting of former Red Sox superstar David Ortiz. Dominican officials also say four other suspects were being pursued in the shooting, which witnesses said was carried out by two men on a motorcycle, assisted by two other groups of people in cars. Global News 24 hours a day on the air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, John. It's 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashar.
Nathan, it's a long hockey season, and things can change. 2 months in, the St. Louis Blues are the worst record in the NHL, but they fired their coach and promoted Craig Berube. They brought up rookie goalie Jordan Binnington from the minors, and the Blues began to win and kept winning, and they ended up doing something that they've never done before.
From worst to first in just over 5 months, the St. Louis Blues, for the first time in franchise history, have won the Stanley Cup. They mob Jordan Binnington to our right, throwing their gloves and sticks up in the air. The Blues have done it. They win three straight games in Boston. They defeat the Bruins in Game 7.
Westwood won the call. Bruins outshot the Blues 33-20. St. Louis won the game 4-1. Ryan O'Reilly scored the first goal. He scored in each of the last four. He won the Conn Smythe Trophy as playoff MVP. The Blues hadn't even been to the Cup Final since 1970. Road team won 5 of the 7 games. The NBA Finals has seen the road team win 4 in a row. We'll see what happens tonight. Game 6 in Oakland. Last game ever at Oracle Arena, the NBA's oldest venue. Another chance for Toronto to dethrone Golden State. Kevin Durant in a hospital room in New York. He had what he termed successful surgery on his ruptured Achilles. Mets and Yankees were off. They'll start 4-game series tonight. The Yankees in Chicago against the White Sox. The Mets will host the Cardinals. U.S. Open golf begins today at historic Pebble Beach by the Pacific Ocean. The defending champ is Brooks Koepka.
It's such a special place. Just the history behind it. You look at the guys that have won here at Pebble, all Hall of Famers, you know, some of the greatest players to ever play the game. And I mean, how can you not like the views? It's a cool place just to play golf and just to be here. It really is special.
Koepka comes off his win at the PGA Championship with the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
And John, the Cleveland Cavaliers have lured away another prominent college coach, this time from the women's game. Lindsey Gottlieb is leaving California after 8 seasons to join John Beilein's staff in Cleveland. She becomes the 7th female assistant in the NBA. Earlier this year, Beilein left Michigan after 12 seasons to take over as head coach of the Cavs. S&P futures almost 9 points higher now. Dow futures up 79 points, and NASDAQ futures are ahead by 34 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's coming up to 5:12 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties. For investor partners, see them at NRIA.net.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks and U.S. stock index futures are higher, shrugging off losses in Asia despite a host of simmering geopolitical tensions, oil jumping, treasuries nudging higher. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 9 points, Dow futures up 86, NASDAQ futures up 37. The DAX in Germany is up 0.6%. 10-year treasury up 2/32, yield 2.11%, yield on the 2-year 1.86%. NYMEX crude oil up 2.6% or $1.32 to $52.46 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.2% or $3 to $13.3980 an ounce. The euro 1.1292 against the dollar, the yen 108.43. Today we are watching for the import price index out at 8:30 Wall Street time, along with initial jobless claims. The Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index out at 9:45. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And good morning, Karen. President Trump's comments that he'd accept dirt on a presidential opponent from a foreign government drawing sharp reactions from Democrats running for president. Former Vice President Biden says Mr. Trump is once again welcoming foreign interference in America's elections. Hope Hicks, a top aide to President Trump during his 2016 campaign and his first year in the White House, has agreed to testify before the House Judiciary Committee next week. That's according to the Washington Post. And a House panel voted to hold Attorney General William Barr and Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross in contempt of Congress. Sports. The St. Louis Blues are the Stanley Cup champions. They beat the Bruins in Game 7 to capture their first ever cup. In baseball, the Red Sox, the A's, and Giants all win. The Yankees and Mets were off. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. It's 519 on Wall Street, and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Our guest this Thursday morning, Michael Hewson, Chief Market Analyst at CMC Markets. Always good to talk with you, Michael, with geopolitical risk certainly back front and center this morning with this attack on two tankers in the Gulf of Oman. Should we be concerned about oil supply again?
Yeah, good morning, Nathan. We're certainly seeing a rally in oil prices on the back of it, but it's fairly modest when you look at the declines of the of yesterday. We haven't reversed yesterday's declines. We're coming off five-month lows. Should we be concerned about oil supplies through the Straits of Hormuz? No, I don't think we should. This is really nothing new. This is something that I think investors have had to live with for years now, going back to the Gulf War in 1991, back in Kuwait, and obviously the Afghanistan campaign. You've got the US Fifth Fleet there. I think they're more than capable of keeping those sea lanes open, but ultimately, whenever you get reports of a vessel on fire and then and it's been attacked, then you will get investors tend to play the safety first card.
All right. So you see this as perhaps a temporary spike. The concern then about demand in the oil market is, I guess, still the broader concern for you?
I think that is the broader concern, and that's certainly been reflected in the price action over the course of the past few days. The fact that we've come down to five-month lows, you saw those inventory numbers. They're not an isolated number. We have been seeing bigger inventory builds over the course of the past few weeks, and I think there is a concern with all the rhetoric around China and the US, and with the fact that the US is looking to widen its angle of attack to Europe, that we could well see a significant slowdown in global demand. And if that is the case, then I think OPEC will find it very, very difficult to hold the line against further declines in oil prices. And it's not altogether a bad thing. I always felt that oil prices above $70 a barrel were always going to be act as a little bit of a brake on consumer spending. And I think certainly in the case of the US driving season, I think the fact that US consumers have more money in their pockets as opposed to filling up their gas tanks, that's always going to be a good thing.
So are you thinking then that OPEC is going to continue holding back on development to keep the price in check?
I think we're in a new range for oil prices. I think the big level for me on WTI is around about that $50 a barrel mark. I think if we drop below there, then I certainly think that OPEC might get a little bit nervous. Certainly in terms of the OPEC price or the Brent price, $60 a barrel really is the line in the sand for me. I think if we drop below that, then OPEC's palms might start to sweat a bit.
What could this mean more broadly for the market, particularly for companies that are more exposed to the commodity sector?
Well, obviously, it's not going to be good. The higher the oil price, the better for companies like Total, Chevron, ExxonMobil, Royal Dutch Shell, all very familiar household names. But I don't think that's really the only risk that faces these companies. It's also the move towards renewables. We're certainly seeing that here in Europe, where the cause for renewables is certainly gaining traction. So I think unless these companies diversify in terms of their energy mix, they're going to find it very, very difficult over the course of the next 5 to 10 years to stay relevant.
In terms of the broader picture for the market, as we continue to have these tensions between the U.S. and China on the trade picture, are you looking for any sort of resolution anytime soon, particularly with this G20 summit coming up later this month?
Well, not unless one side or the other resiles from their current position. And certainly the tone of the debate has shifted markedly to what it was a month ago. And I think that's why you're getting an awful lot of calls calling for the Fed to cut rates. I mean, I was just looking on the WIRP of the Bloomberg terminal, and markets are assigning an 85% probability of a July rate cut. I don't think that's anywhere close to being in the realms of possibility. You've got U.S. stock markets near multi-year high or all-time highs. You've got unemployment at a 50-year low. You've got wages above 3%. You've got inflation around 2%. I don't really see what warrants a rate cut at this point in time. Now, that's not to say we won't get one maybe at the end of this year, but July next year, I doubt it very much. I think it's overpriced.
Michael Hewson, Chief Market Analyst, CMC Markets. Wish we had more time, but we'll have to leave it there for now. Thanks, as always, for being with us here on Bloomberg Daybreak. And, of course, we will continue following the situation in the Gulf of Oman. Two tankers apparently attacked. Checking the price of crude right now. Brent is at $62.03 a barrel. That's a jump of 3.4%. Stay with us for more. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg. Good morning. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking, technology-driven advisory and accounting firm helping clients be in a position of strength in today's modern business landscape. Visit Withum.com to learn more.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Eisner Amper's 4th Annual Alternative Investment Summit, June 19th. Network with your peers and enjoy a fireside chat with keynote Alex Rodriguez. To request your invitation, email events at EisnerAmper.com.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Oil rebounding from a near five-month low after two tankers were damaged in a suspected attack in the Gulf of Oman. We get more from Bloomberg's Anne-Marie Hordern.
This is a region that is responsible for so much of the world's oil supply, more than 16 million barrels a day through the Strait of Hormuz. So any sort of incident here could disrupt not just two vessels, it could potentially be a lot more. That is why you see this immediate spike in the oil market.
And checking prices right now, NYMEX crude oil up 2.8%, up $1.45 to $52.59 a barrel. Brent is up 3.5% at $62.05.
U.S. futures and stocks in Europe reversed earlier losses on the tanker news. They're now higher. Stocks in Asia fell for a second straight session, with equities in Japan leading declines.
And Hong Kong lawmakers scrapped debate for a second straight day on legislation that would allow extraditions to China. Tensions are more subdued today following yesterday's clashes between police and protesters. We get the latest from Bloomberg's Stephen Engel in Hong Kong.
Right now, it is a tense calm. Some protesters did show up with their masks, with their goggles. However, when they learned that the Legislative Council had decided to shelve the debate today, at least, they kind of withdrew, waiting to see if indeed the Legislative Council will do an about-face or whether indeed it has been tabled for now.
Protesters argue the bill in question would blow up the legal wall intended to keep Hong Kong's justice system separate from China's.
Alibaba's moving closer to what could be Hong Kong's biggest share sale since 2010. Bloomberg News has learned the company's filed confidentially for a listing in the city. The offering from Alibaba could raise as much as $20 billion.
Amazon stepping up its push into the UK. It's expanding an alliance with Morrisons Supermarkets to offer groceries in more cities across Britain.
And on the earnings front, shares of Lululemon rose 5% in extended trading. The yoga wear maker boosted its full-year profit forecast. Broadcom reports earnings this afternoon.
S&P futures up 10 points this morning. Dow futures up 91. NASDAQ futures up 40. The 10-year Treasury up 2/32nd, yield 2.11%. Yield on the 2-year 1.86%, and the 30-year yield at 2.61%. COMEX gold up 0.2% at $13.39.20 an ounce. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Alrighty, thank you, Karen. It's 5:33 on Wall Street, and John Tucker has more on what's happening around the world. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Nathan. Republicans are lamenting what they're calling a significant moment in history, the holding of two cabinet-level officers in contempt of Congress. Details in this report from Bloomberg's Bob Moon.
The battle lines were largely along party lines.
On this vote, we have 24 yeas and 15 noes.
Michigan's Justin Amash, the one Republican joining Democrats to find Attorney General William Barr and Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross in contempt of Congress for withholding documents on 2020 census plans to ask people taking part if they're citizens. Republicans say, what's wrong with asking the question?
I think it's totally ridiculous that we would have a census without asking.
Now, Democrats say, what's wrong with answering ours? The Oversight Committee's Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
The American public deserves nothing less than full transparency.
It's the reason for asking the question Democrats question, suspecting it's really aimed at intimidating non-citizens and immigrants. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
President Trump's comments that he'd accept dirt on a presidential opponent from a foreign government are drawing sharp reactions from Democrats running for president. Mr. Trump made his comments in an interview with ABC News.
It's not an interference. They have information. I think I'd take it. If I thought there was something wrong, I'd go maybe to the FBI if I thought there was something wrong.
Former Vice President Joe Biden says Mr. Trump is once again welcoming foreign interference in America's elections. Several other Democratic candidates are repeating their call for impeachment hearings. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell convened a high-stakes meeting Wednesday with Treasury Secretary Mnuchin, the acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney, and other Republicans to forge a deal that would avert another government shutdown and relieve market uncertainty about a debt ceiling standoff. Top Senate Republicans are urging the White House toward a government spending and debt limit deal that House Democrats can accept. President Trump is threatening sanctions against NATO ally Germany. He also warned he could shift troops away from the country. The president has repeatedly rebuked Angela Merkel's government over a proposed gas line from Russia, trade policies, and defense spending. And the first sentence of the U.S. college admission scandal was handed down, and it's one day in prison. The former Stanford University sailing coach, John Vandermeer, will also have to serve 6 months of home confinement and pay a $10,000 fine. He was the only coach in the scandal who wasn't accused of taking bribes for his personal use. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. It's 5:35 on Wall Street. That's time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashar.
Nathan, an unlikely Stanley Cup champion. The St. Louis Blues had never hoisted the cup, had never won a game in a cup final, hadn't played in one since 1970, and 2 months into this season, they had the NHL's worst record. But in the playoffs, they were dominant on the road, going 10-3, three straight wins in Boston, 4-1 last night in Game 7. Bruins were buzzing early, but couldn't score past rookie goalie Jordan Binnington. The Blues had only four shots on goal first period, but scored twice, added two more in the third. Boston's only goal came very late. The Blues captain, Alex Pietrangelo.
Because you're kind of in the moment now, it's hard to explain, but what an unbelievable year. I don't even know what to say. Just where we were to where we are now, it's developed a lot of relationships this year, going through what we went through. I tell you what, I've never been more proud to wear this jersey. This group of guys is it's unbelievable.
Ryan O'Reilly was acquired last summer, was the playoff MVP. Tonight, Game 6 of the NBA Finals. Toronto up 3-2, another chance to dethrone Golden State. The Yankees could be getting Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton back next week. Stanton last night played a Class A game in Tampa. Homer twice. Yanks at the White Sox tonight. Mets host the Cardinals. Tiger Woods knows about winning the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach. He won there in 2000 by 15 shots.
Looking forward to it. You know, it's been a while since we played the U.S. Open here, and there's nothing like playing a U.S. Open set up here in Pebble Beach. I mean, the golf course is not overly long. It's not big in that regard, but man, it's tricky. The greens are all slanted, very small targets, and if they ever firm up, then we have a totally different ballgame.
Tiger tees off today just after 5 o'clock, playing with Jordan Spieth. Defending champ Brooks Koepka will be just in front of him. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. And the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. It's the sooner-than-you-think issue, focused on the future of tech and daring feats of innovation, including a company planning to bring 1 billion people online. Shira Ovide wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
This little startup, spinoff of a Chinese electronics company that made this software for very inexpensive devices that are somewhere between, you know, a 1990s cell phone and the smartphones that you and I have in our pockets.
And you can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com. Or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. It's 5:38 on Wall Street now. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Nathan. Volkswagen confirms it's close to a deal with Ford to collaborate on electric car technology and self-driving vehicles. CEO Robert Diest told top executives this week talks are progressing well and we're close to being finalized. Shares of electric car maker Tesla closing down 3.6% on Wednesday. Analysts expressing skepticism about Chief Executive Officer Elon Musk's latest claim that sales in the second quarter could reach record levels. And global light vehicle sales fell 7% in May, dragged down by a 16% decline in the Chinese market and stagnation in the U.S. and Europe, according to LMC Automotive. At your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report, I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
All right, Ed, thanks. 5:39 now on Wall Street, and Bloomberg Radio's on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KRLD in Dallas. American Airlines managers will fly on the 737 MAX before paying customers due.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WBBM in Chicago, the World Economic Forum warns that retirement account balances are not growing fast enough to cover rising life expectancy.
I'm Andrew O'Day on 1010 Winds in New York. I'm talking about a new report showing incentives for New York renters falling as rents keep rising.
I'm Anna Edwards on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We are reporting on Conservative MPs casting ballots in the first round of voting to find the next prime minister.
I'm Joan Doniger telling KYW listeners in Philadelphia that Johnson & Johnson is taking another $10 million hit in another talc case.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting global light vehicle sales fell 7% in May.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Another story for you. Netflix is taking another step toward becoming a multimedia empire. The streaming service is coming out with video games based on its shows. On July 4th, Netflix will release Stranger Things 3, the game based on the popular teen series. And there will also be a game based on the Netflix series, The Dark Crystal. S&P futures higher by 8.5 points. Dow futures up 73. NASDAQ futures up 34 points. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. Coming up to 5:41 on Wall Street as we continue to keep an eye on the oil market following the attack in the Gulf of Oman, we will check in with Bloomberg Opinion on why Iran has little to gain from the attack.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks and U.S. stock index futures are higher, shrugging off losses in Asia despite a host of simmering geopolitical tensions. Oil is jumping, treasuries nudging higher. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 8.5 points, Dow futures up 75, NASDAQ futures up 34. The DAX in Germany is up about 0.6%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32nd, yield 2.11%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.86%. NYMEX crude oil up 3% or $1.51 to $52.65 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.25% or $3.70 to $13.40.50 an ounce. The euro 1.1291 against the dollar. The yen 108.44. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And good morning, Karen. A House panel voted to hold Attorney General William Barr and Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross in contempt of Congress for withholding documents on plans to add a citizenship question to the 2020 census. President Trump asserted executive privilege over the material. President Trump says he'd want to hear damaging information about a political opponent in the 2020 election, even if it were provided by a foreigner, a scenario that evokes some of the controversial conduct at the heart of Robert Mueller's Russia probe. Senator Elizabeth Warren, whose presidential campaign has gained momentum in recent weeks, is now polling ahead of Senator Bernie Sanders among voters in Nevada and is trailing only former Vice President Joe Biden there. Sports, the St. Louis Blues are the Stanley Cup champions. They beat the Bruins in Game 7 to capture their first ever cup. And in baseball, the Red Sox, A's, and Giants all win. The Yankees and Mets were off. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, John. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's coming up to 5:49 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform offering informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. Bloomberg Opinion editor Jennifer Ryan joins us from our London bureau. And living up to that billing, Jen, Julian Lee has just posted a piece on the Bloomberg Opinion section of the terminal on the attack in the Gulf of Oman on those two tankers. What is his initial read?
Well, the question you really want to ask here is who benefits from these attacks? And fingers will certainly be pointed at Iran as the mastermind, either directly or indirectly. Leave aside now whether or not it is directly responsible. Let's just think about what the benefits there might be. If Tehran really is attacking tankers leaving the Persian Gulf, this sends a message that transit through the world's most important choke point for global oil flows is not safe without its consent. The picture here is that Iran is suffering under U.S. sanctions, and if it gets pushed to the brink economically by them, Julian Lee says it's not going to go quietly, so other nations in the region are going to have to bear the cost of disruptions to their own oil exports. The cost to the United States will go up as well. Shipping in the region and around the Strait of Hormuz, where the incidents took place today, are considered to be a lot more dangerous than they were, say, 15 years ago. But still, they're not nearly as bad as they were in the 80s when the so-called tanker wars took place. At that time, the U.S. Navy resorted to escorting vessels through the Persian Gulf. Were the Navy to try to do that again, that would really be a very expensive affair, and it would add to the drive that President Trump is engaged in against Iran, which started with the withdrawal from the nuclear agreement with Iran in May 2018.
Yeah, and as we continue to watch oil prices rise this morning with the Iranian economy suffering under those sanctions, you would think that the rising oil price would help Iran, right?
That's not exactly straightforward, because the nation's oil exports really have been curtailed by these sanctions. So sure, it looks on paper that higher oil prices means that Iran's getting more revenues from its oil. But shipments have dwindled so much because of the sanctions, and then it's also going to have to offer steep discounts as well. So the absolute benefit from these higher prices isn't really going to be all that much.
Yeah, and it's hard not to notice the timing of this attack either, particularly with what's happening in Iran right now.
That's right. Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe is actually in Tehran, and he's there with the blessing of President Donald Trump. And Lee looks at this and he says, you know what, that's really the first sign of sanctions thawing for Iran. So to see a ship carrying Japanese cargoes related to Japan, all of a sudden be attacked, that timing is really very curious, Lee says. And so think about it from a broader perspective. If you're seeing the first tangible signs of easing of these sanctions, if you're a person who wants to derail the easing of tensions, who wants to effect regime change in Tehran, then the attacks make sense. But if that's what's happening, what Lee says is whoever is behind the attacks really is no friend of Iran.
All right. And looking at the other major geopolitical risk happening at the moment, these protests on the streets of Hong Kong over the extradition bill. And Tyler Cowen is taking a broader look at that as well in terms of, you know, what the history of Hong Kong has meant for liberalism.
Hong Kong has actually long stood as a symbol of freer markets and growing globalization. I mean, you look back to the early 70s when it was depicted as a poor place deserving of sympathy from Western audiences, and things really have changed since then. But along the way, as there was a focus on economic rights, as the focus on revenues from financial services, there's a lot of criticism for a focus on a lack of democracy, and that really seems to be hitting home right now, even though actual life in Hong Kong still seemed to be pretty free compared to what was available compared to, say, the totalitarian state under Chairman Mao. There was still a lack of democracy, which is continuing to be a problem at this current time.
Yeah, still, though, Hong Kong does rank near the top of, you know, several indexes of economic freedom still.
Yeah, but the take here is that that might just be evidence that these indexes have lost touch with what the nature of liberty really is. I mean, the notion of a credible commitment to the future ceased to have a lot of meaning quite some time ago, because you've always got this specter of Chinese intervention and an understanding that the rules of the game can change at any time, and that includes extradition procedures.
And real quickly, Cowen says there's a deeper lesson here about freedom.
Yeah, it's not just about the, you know, how you buy and sell your goods. It's about the narratives that you live your life by. What kind of future do people imagine them for themselves? These are greatly affected by the legitimacy and durability of their political institutions. And Count has a swipe at American conservatives and libertarians who seem to have lost sight of this. And so, you know, when it comes to regulation and tax rates, there, you know, there might be some element of freedom there, but really the freedom indexes are missing the decline of liberty in Hong Kong as well.
A couple important pieces to read on the Bloomberg terminal at OPIN Go or on Bloomberg.com/opinion. Bloomberg opinion editor Jennifer Ryan, thank you as always. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 5:54 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Joan Doniger in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
The California Fish and Game Commission could list four species of bumblebees as endangered, and the debate may lead to an interesting question, whether bees are legally the same as fish. Senate Democratic Whip Dick Durbin says the FDA is, quote, not doing their job to curb the skyrocketing use of vaping devices by young people. Durbin says the agency is sitting on the sidelines while every other public health expert sounds the alarm. And a bill to revamp the National Flood Insurance Program has unanimously cleared the House Financial Services Committee.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Joan, thank you. Now another legal development we're watching this morning. Cuban exiles suing in U.S. courts to demand compensation for property lost to the communist government. For more on this story, Joan Grasso speaks to Bloomberg News Miami Bureau Chief Jonathan Levin.
Jonathan, they call these test cases for good reasons. The plaintiffs not only have to try cases with evidence that's six decades old, but they're suing under this law that's just been put into effect. Explain some of the hurdles they face.
Effectively, what's happening here is we have exiles from Cuba who are trying to get compensation in some way for the property that their families lost decades and decades ago when Castro sort of first came to power. And in order to do that through U.S. courts, they need to first prove in many cases that they actually owned the property. You know, so you see families marshaling these deeds that are 100 years old and from Cuba. So verifying those things, if they haven't already been officially verified, could prove somewhat tricky. And then you have to think about how you're going to actually collect on these claims. So obviously collecting from the government of Cuba is extremely difficult. So what we've seen is a sort of strategy from these families to go after multinational companies, which presumably will also have assets, not just in Cuba, but also in the U.S. mainland, that if they get a ruling in their favor, they could theoretically seize those assets and gain compensation that way.
The Justice Department has certified some 6,000 claims worth about $8 billion at current value. Does that certification play in this anywhere? Does that prove anything in a court?
I think it's very clear that you're at a huge advantage if you are one of the certified claimants. And that's why most of the cases that we've seen thus far are from certified claimants.
And that's Bloomberg News Miami Bureau Chief Jonathan Levin speaking to Joan Grasso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law. Weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. S&P futures up 8.5 points. Dow futures up 81. NASDAQ futures up 36. And the 10-year Treasury up 336. Seconds, yield 2.11%. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.